Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand Side Quest right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I hope today's video finds you and yours very well. Today, I want to discuss Nintendo Switch's amazing sales that Nintendo just revealed. The Switch is doing fantastic. It's doing great across the world. And I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. But I think there are reasons to be reserved and hesitant too, and I want to discuss those in this video as well. Wherever you stand, I'd like to hear from you in the comments below. But first, watch the video, and we'll go from there. Last week, in a financial statement I'm sure company executives were thrilled to release to the world, Nintendo revealed an amazing fact. After only 10 months on the market, the console handheld hybrid Switch has officially outsold Nintendo's previous console, the Wii U. At just under 15 million units sold, buttressed by holiday season sales accounting for nearly half that number, Switch has already surpassed Wii U's roughly 13.5 million units sold. For context, Wii U was launched worldwide in late 2012 to a resounding thud. It was a terrible console. So Switch outselling it isn't a huge surprise. It's that it outsold it in such a short time period that makes one's head spin. As you may recall, my pre-launch Switch lifetime sales prediction was that it'd ultimately do about twice Wii U's numbers. I figured somewhere in the 30 million range. But Nintendo has the potential to put that predictive number to bed in only 2 years or so with Switch, an exceptional and even unthinkable feat not even a year ago. The fact that Nintendo has managed such an exceptional turnaround is already the stuff of industry legend, and Nintendo should be applauded for getting so much so right. And let's be frank, it's gotten a great deal right. It wasn't too long ago that I made a video right here on SideQuest about how much I've unexpectedly taken to the Switch, and clearly I'm not the only one. Indeed, the attach rate for the console, not even a year old, tells a powerful tale. At 3.5 titles per Switch sold, games are moving briskly to an already embedded audience. Four different first-party games, The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, have sold at least 4 million copies each. In fact, Zelda and the two Mario games are above 6 million units sold each. These are numbers that must make Nintendo's leadership feel weightless, not to mention a resurgent Nintendo fanbase that is finally finding its way out of the wilderness after a pretty bleak few years in the console space. Not surprisingly, Nintendo is feeling bullish as it traverses 2018. So bullish, in fact, that it has officially revised upward its sales projections for both Switch hardware and Switch software for its fiscal year ending soon. The company thinks it will sell more hardware than it expected, more software than it expected, and make more money and net a higher profit than expected. All good things, of course, since success in the short term will allow Nintendo to keep making long-term bets that can further solidify its resurgent stature, and to double, triple, and quadruple down on initiatives that are working. The interesting question to examine from here, though, is what the environment looks like for Switch after the fiscal year ends at the end of March. Can Nintendo continue this amazing pace? Switch is already guaranteed to eclipse GameCube's 22 million units sold. If it sells 33 million units, and I suspect it will pass N64. SNES at just shy of 50 million and NES at just over 60 million are going to be tougher to surpass, however. And then there's Wii at over 100 million units, the ultimate benchmark for meteoric success. Where will Switch go from here? And what challenges barricade the road ahead of it? From my perspective, I can see things going both ways for Nintendo. On the one hand, you have a corporate entity that's absolutely humming, based not only on its incredible success with Switch, but based on a number of other successes too. The 3DS handheld, for instance, which was released way back in 2011, sits at 72 million units sold, with an astonishing 360 million pieces of software sold since launch. So far removed from 2011, 3DS is basically free money for Nintendo at this stage. Additionally, Nintendo has found significant success in the mobile market, particularly with Pokemon Go, although releases like Super Mario Run, Animal Crossing, and Fire Emblem also printed cash. Nintendo has been investing in licensing and merchandising opportunities, inked lucrative theme park-related deals, and is finally getting back into the movie industry, more than 2.5 decades after it got notoriously burned there. Looking at Nintendo's situation through these lenses, all engines are go. From these perfectly valid and important points of view, Nintendo is an unstoppable force and things will probably only get better. But there's a separate and equally worthy perspective from which to examine all of this. The level of success Nintendo is currently enjoying revolves around Switch, and Switch may simply not be able to sustain its meteoric rise. If Switch sputters in some respect, Nintendo is still a financially stable and healthy company. Let's keep in mind that its stock value rose an incredible 68% in 2017 alone, and another 20% in 5 weeks in 2018. Let's also keep in mind that Nintendo is flush with cash, sustainably in the black on its balance sheet, and also happens to be sitting on some of the world's most valuable intellectual property. But fortunes in the gaming industry rise and fall all the time. The once untouchable becomes suddenly mortal. I would never sit here and claim Nintendo as a corporate entity is in any danger, but I will say that Nintendo Switch, despite its amazing 10-month sales run, could find itself mired in a precarious situation as we move into year 2, year 3, and beyond, and that the story being told about it is far more complicated than looking at sales numbers, charts, and trajectories in a vacuum. What concerns me most is that in a hand inherently limited by time, resources, and the market itself, Nintendo has already played two massively important cards in Zelda and Mario. Playing those cards paid off, but they're unlikely to be played again. Now, fortunes riding on these two franchises can easily go both ways. N64 had a 3D Mario at launch and two 3D Zelda games, all cream of the crop historic releases, and N64 was soundly trounced by PlayStation. GameCube had both a 3D Mario and 3D Zelda, and was obliterated even worse by PlayStation 2. Meanwhile, Wii had two 3D Marios as well as two 3D Zeldas, yet Wii's success didn't hinge on those games at all. Wii U had neither. Obviously, Breath of the Wild was originally created for Wii U, and it was released there, selling a cool 1.5 million units. And clearly, Odyssey was meant for Wii U too, but it never came. That time around, it did matter. And so it goes. What none of these examples had, however, were two important IP cards being played so close to one another. Sunshine and Wind Waker are the only two examples of releases in close proximity. Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time were separated by 2 years, and another 2 years passed before Majora's Mask launched. 3 years separated Galaxy from Galaxy 2, and another year separated Galaxy 2 from Skyward Sword. The 1-2 punch of Mario and Zelda, and the economically vibrant environment they created for Switch, is going to be incredibly difficult to recapture. And considering how insanely long both Breath of the Wild and Odyssey took to make, it's entirely conceivable that both franchises' AAA runs on Switch have already occurred. Nintendo wisely played these cards. They needed both on the table to make Switch happen at all. But it doesn't erase the fact that gamers need to be fed games, or your console stumbles and falls. And even though Nintendo's relationship with third parties is as strong as it's been in a decade, Nintendo will ultimately need to rely on itself and its internal partners to make the games on the console that really truly matter. Flooding the eShop with indie games is great, but vibrant indie game markets already exist on Steam, PS4, and Xbox One, all machines and services with a greater reach at the current time. It's simply not a notable differentiator. Neither are these late third-party releases. They've already been played elsewhere. There's little doubt that Nintendo has other franchises of massive import that could help shift units. Super Smash Bros. Is coming to Switch, which is going to sell huge numbers, and a new Mario Kart, if previous new releases in the franchise are any indication, is going to be a world scorcher. Even Metroid Prime 4 will help, although many people, even Nintendo's own fans, greatly overestimate Metroid's reach and sales numbers. But what else is there on the exclusive front? Bayonetta 3 will probably be great, but like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, it's not going to push massive numbers. Project Octopath Traveler looks fantastic, but let's be real, that's a niche game that will push few units. Nintendo Labo is cool, I guess? It seems to be a gimmick to me, and as we've seen from PlayStation Move to Xbox Kinect, gamers don't take kindly to gimmicks. Pokemon is an obvious massive ace in the hole, and it's coming, but we know nothing about it. I think what I'm saying here is that you'd have to willfully bury your head in the sand, not to see that there could be a bit of an issue brewing here. While Switch does a great job of justifying itself based on its clever hybrid nature, if you've got nothing of the Zelda and Mario caliber to play on it a few times a year, that could signal turbulent waters ahead. And it's perhaps those most far out and unforeseen but absolutely choppy waters ahead that are most daunting for Nintendo to continue its amazing, applause-worthy performance with Switch. Sony and Microsoft are only a year or two away from revealing what's next for their ecosystems, and this is going to create a multitude of problems for Nintendo, particularly on the third-party front. Publishers like Bethesda and Ubisoft have shown a great deal of support for Switch, but are they going to be able to show that with what's next? Remember, Switch, due to its very nature, is a machine of concessions. It's not even as powerful as PS4 or Xbox One, consoles launched 5 years ago. The next PlayStation and next Xbox are going to be dynamos, and if PS4's performance in particular is any indication, they're going to sell. Switch may be able to play tweaked versions of Skyrim, launched 7 years ago, or Doom, which can't be run as intended on Switch, but it's not going to be able to play, say, The Elder Scrolls 6, it's not going to be able to play the next-gen Call of Duty, it's not going to be able to get the most state-of-the-art versions of FIFA or Madden. These are incredibly relevant concerns to the market. Without both the first and third-party cannons firing, it's hard to see Switch getting to, say, Wii levels, even if its early numbers suggest it's on that trajectory. It's hard to believe that publishers are going to roll out two very different versions of their biggest AAA games, one for PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, and another for Switch, once the next generation gets rolling. My heart and my head are at odds. My head is telling me that Switch will continue a respectable trajectory, continue to do great, but slow down as it moves into its middle years, simply due to increased and renewed competition from its rivals' inevitable new machines, and a seeming dearth of first-party offerings that will light the world on fire, like Zelda and Mario have. My heart is telling me that we're seeing a new Nintendo, though. A Nintendo savvy enough, smart enough, sophisticated enough, and intelligent enough to have everything mapped out just so. I have to say, I've been so impressed with Nintendo over the last 2 years, as it has, on one hand, swallowed its pride, embraced opportunities, like mobile gaming, and turned them solely to their benefit. It has, on the other hand, returned to its hardcore gaming roots, and really delivered from both a hardware and software perspective in ways I simply didn't think it was capable of anymore. Am I worried about Nintendo moving forward? No. But I am a little worried about Switch's trajectory, and I figured I'd voice that. Whether or not I'm right or wrong to be concerned will be, as always, determined by time and money. Either way, Nintendo has a resurgent fan in me that will await what's next with more eagerness than I've shown for the brand in many years. All right, that's it for this episode of Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, let me know what you think in the comments below. I'll be reading. Thumb up the video if you liked it, and thumb it down if you didn't. I will waste no more of your time today, but I do appreciate what time you have given me. And I will see you next time for more Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. Keep on gaming.